Some time ago, I told you about my buddy Thorpe. You see, Thorpe was a troubled young man in our community. He went to school right here in these schools. Some of my children and even my wife had occasion to take Thorpe under their wing, so to speak, and help him along and try even pointing him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly tried to encourage him to step out of the lifestyle that he was in, even as a young boy. Well, that lifestyle caught up to Thorpe. I think most of you that have been around here a while know. And Thorpe was in jail here, in the county jail here in Crow Wing and Todd County for 18 months, awaiting trial for murder. And every single month I went to visit Thorpe. Matter of fact, some of those months I went twice. And we would have Bible study sometimes face to face. They'd put us in a room by ourselves and we'd have Bible study and we'd have prayer time and we'd talk about life and we'd talk about death. And every single time I would tell Thorpe about Jesus. And each and every time Thorpe would talk like he knew about Jesus. And I would tell him, but Thorpe, you got to get self out of the way. And you got to surrender your life to the living Christ. 18 months went by and he went to trial. And of course, confident as he wasn't going to be convicted of murder in the second degree. He was wrong and he went to prison. And I visited him one time in prison. And then he went on to the next prison. And now he's in another prison. And I kept encouraging him, trust in the living God. Trust in Jesus Christ as Lord. And when you do, keep your eyes on the Master, because life will assail you and beat you down. And the waves and winds of life will wash you away if you don't. Got a letter from Thorpe just the other day. And this is not my sermon. I just wanted to encourage you with this letter today. You're going to get a sermon too. He starts out, Happy New Year, Johnsons. God is good. I have been blessed with a miracle. The miracle I'm about to tell you is really unbelievable, but I tell you the truth. While I was still here in Minnesota, I got tested for all kinds of diseases. The results came back and I had hepatitis C. I, of course, was crushed. But all things are possible through Christ, as the good book says. I prayed for God to hear me. So I didn't die by the time I was 50. He's to the ripe old age of 32 or 3 or something like that now. I got tested again here. The results came back and I've been in contact. It says I've been in contact with hepatitis C, but my liver functions are completely fine and normal. And I'm not even contagious with hepatitis C. The doctor said my body has cured me and I have nothing to worry about. After all the drugs and the alcohol, my liver is still in top shape. Here's what he says. How is it that all my prayers are answered? You see, friends, we serve a God that is real. Amen? Amen? We serve a God that is alive. And when we really come to the end of ourselves, as I encouraged him month after month after month and put Jesus Christ first, he shows up in amazing ways. How is it that all my prayers are answered? He writes then, I got a few of the boys here to go to church with me, and some of them have accepted Christ into their lives. Hallelujah. He has now become a preacher in prison, telling them about the good news of Jesus. I give them my testimony. You know what a testimony is, friends? Simply telling somebody else what Jesus has done for us. I gave them my testimony and I tell them, this might sound crazy, but God is real. People believe me. Imagine that. I'm doing wonderful. I got a young cellmate. He's 19 and he wants to learn more about the Bible. So I tell him stories about Joseph and King David and Job and of course Jesus. I like to tell stories and I like it too. A couple days ago, the guy was trying to kill himself. He's 19, his silly. He ate all of his heart pills, and he was going to hang himself. And I got to talking to him, and I cheered him up a bit. I told him it will get better, and he can't hurt his kids like that. And everyone else wanted him to do it in our area. But I was thinking, what if he really did? What if he really killed himself and I knew about it and I didn't try to stop him? I couldn't live with that on my plate. The guy said he had no family. He said he's got no friends. And Thorpe said this to him, friends, and here's how you can be a testimony for Jesus right where you're at. He said, I'm your friend. He said, I got no family. I got no friends. Why should I live? And Thorpe simply said, I am your friend. Right next to our room is a next door neighbor who had a heart attack and died right in jail. I got along with that guy too. He was 40. He talks about a new brother in Christ and he talks about other things. And let me just wrap it up with this. We're now going to Bible studies every week. And yesterday we had the front row at church. He's proud of that. Not only can he go to church, he's in the front row. I'm doing excellent. And I hope you and your family are doing excellent. I love you guys. God bless you, Thorpe. And I tell you that, friends, because there's somebody right beside you. And maybe in church. And maybe in the factory. And maybe your neighbor that needs you to come alongside of them and encourage them in Jesus. Somebody is in your path that you and God are going to reach with the saving knowledge of Jesus. It's just not a preacher's role. Because we as disciples of Christ have been commissioned to go and make other disciples. And so I read this story to encourage you. God is at work and he wants to do more. So he invites his people, you and I. If you have claimed the name of Christ, he invites you and I to be ministers of the gospel wherever we live. And that can simply be telling your story to somebody else. Turn to your Bibles in James chapter 3. We're going to continue to walk through this book of James a little bit. We've not been in there for quite a while. But I want to get back there today for this topic. Next week we won't be here because we're going to do a baby dedication. And so we'll focus on children and that type of stuff. And the week after that we'll have our missionaries here. So we'll allow them to share with us. But we're going to go to James today and we'll be back there to finish up James in the near future. But I want to go to James chapter 3 today. So if you have your Bible, that's where we're at. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Here's what it says. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. I think we all know what that means. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, James writes, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, James writes. A world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. Every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man, James writes, can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Excuse me. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. We have been made in the, most of your Bibles will say, likeness. With it we bless God our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring, James writes, to really get us to thinking, send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. While verse 1 seems to be kind of a topic about on its own, although it does all flow together, it's just kind of individualized. I'm not going to say too much about verse 1, but I am going to talk today about the tongue. Talk about what comes out of our mouths as brothers and sisters, as disciples of the Lord Jesus. Verse 1, though, he does say this. He does want people to be teachers of his word, okay? He's not saying don't become a teacher. He is just saying when we take on the responsibility of teaching people the word of God, whether it's little kids in children's church, nursery, or Awana, or whether it's adults, we are held to a higher level of accountability. His words are, you shall receive a greater judgment. And he's simply saying, James is simply saying, when you teach the word of God, take it real, real seriously. Now, I want to address what comes out of our mouths. You see, friends, as disciples, as followers of the Lord Jesus, we are instructed in a language. We are instructed in language. It's called the language of love. And so as believers, James is simply challenging the believers here. Bear in mind what comes out of your mouth. He says in verse 2, if we could completely control our mouth and our tongue, we would then be able to control everything else that we do too. If we could control our tongue. For we all stumble in many ways, he says, but if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, also able also to bridle the whole body. So if we can't control the tongue, we can't control the actions of our body. We can't control what we do. The fact of the matter is, as he's writing to believers here, he's writing because controlling what we say isn't happening. Controlling what our mouth spews out isn't happening. He says we can control horses with bridles, we can control ships with rudders, we have tamed every imaginable beast and bird and reptile that we can think of, but he says we cannot, or we have not, controlled our mouths. We cannot and have not controlled our tongues. Have you ever wondered why that's so hard? Why can't we control what comes out of our mouth? I think it might have something to do with what Jesus said in Matthew 12:34. Here's what Jesus said. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What fills our heart? What fills our mind? You know, when we have trusted Christ Jesus as Lord, friends, the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in us. Amen? That's a good thing, because he helps conduct our lives and direct us and mold us into the people of God that he wants us to be. And when we trust Jesus Christ as Lord and the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence, we also are blessed with some things that are called the fruits of the Spirit. You know what they are. Galatians 5:22 lists them. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, meekness, gentleness, and kindness and self-control. And so James is not saying anything new here. Excuse me. He's simply saying, when you have claimed Christ as Lord and the Holy Spirit of God has taken up residence in you, you are a new creation. You have a new ability to stop the old language or the old ways, because all things have become new. You are new in Christ. But then James writes in verse 8, no one can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil. You saw in that other verse, it just takes a little match to burn down the whole forest, and it just takes a little word to destroy and to destruct lives, parents with children, children with parents, spouses. Just a word destroys. A word from a Christian's mouth in negativity in the workplace destroys our image of Christ. Just a word. But no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. One side of the mouth, James says in verse 9, we bless God the Father, and in the next side of our mouth we're cursing humans. You see, friends, what James is challenging believers here, he's saying, on Sundays we praise God. On Sundays we come together and we praise God. And on Monday we tell dirty jokes and we cuss our neighbor. On Tuesday we ridicule our coworker. On Wednesday we belittle somebody else that looks different than I do. On Thursday I gossip about somebody. Or Friday I'm lying about somebody. Or Saturday I'm using the Lord's name in vain. You see, God is saying, Jesus is saying through James, on Sundays we come to bless the living God, and on Monday through Saturday we're cursing men. And he said, these things should not be that way. James invites us to consider, how can that happen? How can that happen? We bless God one day and curse men the next. We ridicule our coworker, belittle our boss, gossip or lie, or use the Lord's name in vain the rest of the week. James invites us to consider, how can that happen? He asks us the question. He asked the readers of that day, and us the readers today, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? The answer is no. A fresh water spring is not going to spew out bitter water or salt water too. Can a fig, he says, you see, they can get this analogy. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? And the answer is no. Fig trees bear figs. Can a grapevine bear figs? He concludes with, thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. And he's simply saying, brothers and sisters in Christ, if we have claimed the name of Jesus Christ as Lord, and we're praising God with our mouth one day, then let us not the next be cursing men with the same mouth. That's what he's saying. Self-control. It goes right back to self-control. Friends, if my heart is filled with the love of God, and I am really allowing Him to control me and Him to lead me, He's going to help me with what I say and do. But let me be quite frank this morning, friends. None of it's possible on your own. None of it's possible on your own. It's just like the Sermon on the Mount we looked at, the Ten Commandments, or anything else in the Word of God. None of that is possible without Christ as Lord of your life. It's not possible to control your language without Christ being Lord of your life. And so what James says, challenges the believers here and challenges us today is quite simply this. Is Christ Jesus Lord of your life? Because if He is, He wants to help you with what you say. He wants to help you with what you say tomorrow. He wants to help you with what you say about that neighbor that you don't like very well. That coworker that you don't like them either very well. That person with a different appearance in clothes or skin color. You see, friends, when we surrender our lives wholly to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I mean get ourselves out of the way, like I told Thorpe, month after month after month, God will help you. We've got to get self out of the way. He will even help us with our language. And He will change that language, excuse me, of bitterness and hate and retaliation and unforgiveness. He will change all that language to the language of love, because He's a God of love. And so we have an opportunity today, friends, to take this challenge from James and remember these words. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? And so if I've trusted Christ as Lord, I shouldn't be spewing out praises to God today and cursing my fellow man tomorrow. But you can't do that on your own, brothers and sisters. If you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as Lord, you're on your own. You're still walking through life on your own.